This week on the Union Podcast, I'm speaking with Kent Beardley.
Hi, this is Kent Beardley. You're listening to the Union Podcast.
Any information in this podcast should first be reviewed by the corresponding professional, whether that's medical, financial, or legal, before applying it to your life. The views presented here may or may not be those of the host, guest, Union of Muscle, Black Hat Management, or its affiliates. On this week, August 10th, 2014 to August 17th, 2014, United States is in the lead. Brazil is in second. Australia, France, India, Italy, and South Africa are in third. Most views per episode go to Andrea Cox, episode 16, then episode 15 with Giovante, episode 4, episode 19, John Hayes, episode 8, Groovy Judy, episode 12, Gary Bai, episode 6, Emily Reynolds. The only way to get your country or your podcast to top position is by getting more people to listen.
Listen up, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. Stop working out with pain. Use my favorite pain reliever cream, Rubber Arm Muscle Rub. Save 10% when you order at www.myrubberarm.com and type in the coupon code MUSCLE1.
To get rid of those pesky ingrown hairs and back knee, use Earthskin's Rejuvenating Exfoliant. Visit www.earthskinbodycare.com and enter in the coupon code MUSCLE1 for 10% off.
Speaking with Kent Beardley, I got to know Ken a little bit at an ANBF bodybuilding competition. I'm really excited to have him on the podcast. I think you guys will get a lot of great information out of this. Kent, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and the ANBF?
My name is Kent. I'm 51 years old. I'm the president of the American Natural Bodybuilding Federation, which was started last year with the help of numerous people. About 13 people helped me out. But one of my main people involved is Mark Lobliner, John Garofano, my wife, Michelle, and then I have a whole slew of vision reps that help me along. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun and kept me very busy.
Great. And how long have you been doing bodybuilding?
I did my first show when I was 17 years old, back in teenage, 78. So I just graduated from high school, 17 years old. So I've been doing it for a long time, Paul.
Yeah, and you should probably be able to then bring a lot of knowledge to the field and a lot of knowledge to what a good bodybuilding federation is about. So I think.
Well, I'd like to think that I have a lot to offer. There's so many new. Sometimes you shake your head. There's so many new techniques out there and new phrases and things that I've been doing forever that are called something different now. And yeah, I think I'm just a firm believer in basics of what works. If you get too fancy, then I think that's too much. But yeah, I do have a lot of knowledge that I like to share. Owning my own gym, I'm able to be around people all the time, and being part of the ANBF has really been good to me as my bodybuilding career slows down and goes into its twilight era. So it's definitely, I'm enjoying myself.
Good, good. So why start another bodybuilding federation?
Well, Paul, I've been asked that a million times, and some people think it's great, some people think I'm stupid, but the reason why I really started is because, for the reason that I've competed in so many shows, I could probably say I could count on my two hands how many shows that I've been in that I actually thought was run well, like top to bottom. We all know that it's hard to promote shows. We know that it's hard to recruit people for shows. It's hard to get judges for shows, sponsors, everything else. But there's so many natural organizations out there, and the reason why is because nobody does it right. Nobody does it perfect. There's always something left to be desired. Yeah, you might find I mentioned James Karen. He runs a great show. His show is always good. But you know what? Across the board, in every organization, it's like that you have a good show, you have a bad show. You have a good show, you have a bad show. So I said, why is it that people always say it's the promoter that makes the show? Well, absolutely. But why is it that way? It should be the organization. When you enter an ANBF show, I want people to know that that show is going to be just as good as a show in California, just as good as a show in Florida. It should not have be, well, that promoter really puts on a great show. Now, yeah, maybe the promoter's personality might make it more intriguing. It might make it, I can't wait to go there because he's a great guy. But what we try to do with the ANBF, and we are new and we're able to do it, I try to bring the core crew to every show. So now when they go to it, it's kind of, as much as you don't want to talk about that, you know, on a national forum, but kind of like what the NCC does. I mean, you go to a show, all their big shows have all the same judges, have all the same people, have all the same expediters, and that makes competitors comfortable.
Right.
So we want people to enjoy themselves. So when I brought this idea up to Mark Wilbliner, he thought I was crazy. There's too many organizations already. It's too watered down. And I told him exactly the same thing. I gave him my ideas of what I wanted to do. I said, well, when there's a watered-down product, that means that it's not right. That means that nobody is dominant, and nobody is doing it right because everybody's trying different things. If we do it right, I'm not saying we'll take over natural bodybuilding because that's not my intention. My intention is for all organizations to take notice to do the right thing for the competitor, which I think gets lost in many shows. Now, granted, like I mentioned, James, there's other promoters out there that do a great job, too. But there's a lot of promoters that at the end of the day, they're in the back room counting their money. And yeah, we all like to make money, but don't get in this sport for money. Believe me, we all know that. So it's just a matter of it. He said, you know what? You're right. We can do it right. Let's see what we can do. And through his help with his connections and then through all the people that I've known for forever, we've been able to put a good product out there and we get more and more people that are trying us out. And once they come, you know, we build that brand loyalty. You know, I've worked with Bally's, Jack Lane. You know, it's all about brand loyalty. I mean, everywhere you go, they give you a membership card. Everywhere you go, you get a key tag that says, you know, I get a certain amount of dollars, I get a certain amount of points. Well, it's good for retail, it's good for us. I mean, we're trying to brand our own pros. You know, we just try to treat them right so they bring people back. And we've had, in our 2 years, some people have done 2, 3, 4, 5 of our shows, which is great, which means what we're doing is working. So far we've been successful. Yeah, our turnouts are low in some shows. Sometimes, that's the other thing too, the turnouts might be low. Well, what would other promoters do? They cancel their show. Well, we don't cancel the show because we're building something. How are we supposed to build something if we're going to cancel shows? But we've had shows with 10 people, we've had shows with 6 people, but we've had shows with 80 people, we've had shows with 60 people. So you have to put the product out there, and as long as people are interested in it, and as long as people keep giving me good feedback, I mean, that's really what matters to me. I mean, I do what the people want. I listen to what they want. I give them the straight through format. I talk about the prize money before the show so they know what it is. I keep them updated. Direct communication, not a lot of promoters do that. So you enter a show, you never even get the promoter on the phone. That's a long-winded answer. But I just wanted to make it better. I just wanted to put it out there where we are an alternative. You don't have to be there all day. You're going to have a good time, and you're going to meet the people who are in charge. We have meet and greets the day before the show. We have meet and greets after the show, sometimes the morning of the show. We have free posing clinics. We have barbecues. We try to make it more of a family event so we lower our ticket prices. Our entry fees aren't expensive. We're just trying to make a good business model where eventually as we grow, then we'll have to worry about, well, okay, what do we do now? Straight through format. We have 150 people. How do we do that? Well, those are problems that we'll have to look at. That's a problem you don't mind looking at when the time comes.
Right, yeah. So when you say taking care of the competitor, what does that mean?
Well, we want to make sure, number one, that the competitor is informed. They get knowledge. They know they shouldn't show up to a show and be surprised. I mean, that's a lot of times you don't know. You'll show up to a show and it's pre-judging time has changed. You show up to a show and the night show is an hour pushed back. That's the first thing. You know, as a competitor, when you're anal about everything and you're worried about your time schedule and this and that, you're scheduling polygraph tests, you're scheduling spray can, you're scheduling all this stuff, and then now, next thing you know, the times have changed, so there's no communication. Or, simple reasons, take care of the competitors, you want to make sure that they can't, I mean, some shows you go to, now I'm not saying that should be a reason to do a show, but, you know, people like to get goodie bags, people like to get t-shirts, people like to get stuff like that. But those are things that cost money to the promoter. Those are things that means you have to go out, you have to go beyond, and some promoters, beyond their comfort zone. You have to call people. You have to get people on the phone. Hey, I'm having a show. Can you give me some samples? I mean, I'm in the position where I own a gym, so I know a lot of people in the supplement industry. Plus, to having Mark Wilbliner as a helper, you know, I mention his name a lot, but he's been great with everything. I mean, so I'm lucky to have him on my team, and that decision was questioned too. But that's a whole other story. So I have connections. You can't be afraid to reach out. People want to have a bag full of goodie bags. They want to have a t-shirt as a memento. They want to know when they sit down that the 6, 7, 8, 9 people that are at the judges' table don't have any biased opinions, aren't the boyfriend of somebody in the show, isn't the husband or wife of they want to know they're going to be judged fairly. And then that's part of taking care of the competitor himself. They want to know, okay, I have some questions on my posing. Are you going to have a posing clinic? Like, when we go up to Boston next weekend, I'm arranging to have a posing clinic at 10 o'clock in the morning at the local gym by where the venue is. So they have an opportunity to come there and for free and get posing advice. Now, I just think that these are all things that, you know, when you show up to a show, you want to be, you want to think of the athlete to take care of the best they can as far as they want to, you want to give them the fact that they know that they're going to be judged fairly. They're going to be given the prize money that was advertised. I mean, as a pro, that's always something. You show up, the promoter will advertise $6,000 payouts. But when you go around and add it all up, it ends up being like $1,500. Okay, well, that's almost a crime, almost. These guys are spending money to show up. You want to make sure you pay them. And then as far as goodie bags, people just like to have mementos. They want to leave with a good feeling. They don't want to be there all day. They don't want to show up at 8 o'clock in the morning and be there until 12 o'clock at night because you have a four-hour break between pre-judging and the night show, or even if it's an hour break. I mean, that's why the straight-through format. People want to get in there. They want to do their thing. They want to compete. They want to spend time with their families. You know, a lot of our shows, like we're at the show in Boston, we're going to have a pretty good turnout for our first-time show. They're actually a very good turnout, first-time show. And the show starts at 4, we'll be done by 8. So, you know, maybe 8:30. But people get a chance to go out, they enjoy the area. I try to get them in have shows in places where they want to be. You know, like Tampa, like Key West, like North Carolina on the beach, Boston. Places that are exciting. I mean, my shows here at Brick were 2 miles from the beach. I'm not saying that you can have a show in places that are like that all the time, but I try to get a flair for the area involved in the show. I try to get people a chance to go out, like we'll do something in the community. We'll try to, you know, we'll go have a restaurant in one of the towns, you know, so people can get out and go do stuff. Just try to, you want them leaving with a good taste in their mouth. That's really what the bottom line is.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's great for especially the area that maybe wants to host a competition in the area. That gives them an opportunity and shows them the benefit of it. If you tie everybody up and they don't have any time to go out and explore the area, they're not going to spend their money in that area because they don't have time. And if their schedule's not known, then they can't schedule anything else because they don't know if they're predicting that their schedule's going to change. And that'll happen is that if they know that there's a chance their schedule's going to change, they're not going to plan to do anything else and they're going to be ready to be on call.
We had a meet and greet. We had our first show down in the Atlantic City area in March, and we used the local gym to do our meet and greet. Now, they didn't sponsor the show, had nothing to do with the show, but we had like about 12, 13, maybe 15 people that were there. Some of them worked out because they weren't all, the competitors didn't work out, but like a lot of their friends and family came to the meet and greet. So they were paying $10 each to come in. Of course, the AMBF paid for it. But now the gym was all excited about it. Well, we didn't even know this, blah, 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 you know, so we'd like to be a sponsor next year. So it helps you build relationships with businesses in the area, and then it turns into a good connection. Now they want a sponsorship next year, and now those people in their gym, as much as you try to get information out everywhere, it's just not possible to get it, to touch every single person. So now they'll be more involved in the recruitment of competitors, and now their trainers will make money because they're going to be training people for the show. So we just like to make connections wherever we go, and that's really what has been the main thing. The AMBF has basically promoted most of the shows itself. I mean, I go around all the shows, and I'm really the promoter, but I reach out to local people beforehand. I preferably I know them from just being around at the shows, so they kind of help me out, so I get a local flair. But so then what will happen is maybe next year, those people will be able to go out and promote the show themselves. And then now we have the connections, and then we can just go to another location and do the same thing. That's what we've been doing for the past, year and a half. And it's worked out pretty well. And a lot of people, they learn how to do it, and then they kind of they do it themselves.
Right. Yeah, no, I think you've hit on something that's really important in this current economy. I think we have a lot of potential where individuals can really begin to build their own ideas, build the and help one another with different business ideas. But sometimes it's easy to get caught in collecting every dime you possibly can. And if you're out there trying to figure out every way to zap and get as much money as you can out of every nook and cranny, you may be so busy scrambling over pennies that you'll end up losing dollars. And I think if you can help somebody out who's trying to do something new, who's trying to help build the same industry that you're in. It's a great idea just to help each other out. You don't have to figure out the best way to get the most money out of that situation. When, if you can have a little bit of forward thinking, building that relationship can do a whole lot for you than just, you know, saying, hey, you know, I'm going to come to your gym. Why don't you guys, pay me to come to your gym? Because guess what? I'm going to bring you all these people coming into your doors. So why don't you guys pay me? And I think that was great that you actually paid for the people to come in the gym. There was no expense that the gym had to end up giving out, and it might have cost you something. But
we were taking pictures. So, of course, the day of social media, we're all over Twitter and Instagram and Facebook with pictures from those people's gym. So we're trying to show them a value of what we bring to them. We're not looking for anything. You know, they volunteered and say, hey, we'd like to be involved next year. Make sure, you call us. We want to be a sponsor. So just by creating that relationship and not asking for a dime, but yet giving them money and giving them free advertising, that's what works. And it's turned into being too much about the promoters, too much of an ego thing. Well, I'm going to have 200 people. I'm going to have 100 people. Okay. But what happens? You have 200 people and your competitors, they're all spread out in the hallways and nobody's paying attention to anybody because you have too many people and the promoter is all worried about counting his dollars in the back room and they're not giving the attention to the people that they should be. That's the problem.
Definitely. I agree with you 100% on all that. And so we had the show over here in Roanoke. I thought the turnout was all right. The fees were just great for the people coming in to watch the show. And I thought the show went really well. I know there was some issues at the end. Some people didn't like how their placement was, but I think that's going to happen in any competitive field, that there's going to be people who aren't too happy about their placement. But it was a great start, and we had one of your pros come on the show a little earlier, and he was just ecstatic about being able to compete in a natural bodybuilding competition where he felt confident that he could get up on stage and that the competition was fair. And so I think even if their market does seem to be saturated in areas like Roanoke, Virginia, that you're coming to places where people are hungry for it. They want a place where they can feel comfortable bringing the family and everything else and feel like they're getting treated fairly as competitors. It's built around the competitors. If you get into the kind of the game theory side of things of how competitions work, anytime anyone puts up prize money for a competition, the person is almost incentivized to spend money at least up to the point of what they could win. So if they think they can win, if they have the confidence that they can win and there's a good enough prize money set, they're going to spend some money in order to get that money. They might be willing to spend $2,000, $4,000 if they know the prize is $6,000. And that's what benefits the supplement companies. They know that if they put on these competitions and there's prize money involved, that those competitors are going to be willing to spend money ahead of time, and there's a good chance that they'll spend it on their products in order to get the gains that they need to in order to win that prize money. And that's a common thing in any type of competition you're going into, that where there's money involved as the prize, is that people will be willing to spend that money, and so you're creating incentive for them to spend that money. And then if you don't take care of them at the end, you get a lot of worn down people who spend their time and money on something that they're passionate about, and you can zap that passion away if they're not treated well. So, I applaud you. Sounds like you're starting something that can, I think, build into something that's not just about bodybuilding, but that's about the fitness industry. That's about people being fit and encouraging that, and not just encouraging a factory of muscle, but a nation of fitness.
Yeah, and you bring up the Roanoke show. I mean, we were lucky with that. Anthony Ferguson had been a promoter. He did Muscle Mania things didn't work out with him with Muscle Mania. He didn't really like the way that how it all worked out, I suppose. He was he promoted for the MPC, but he had connections with Mark Lobliner. So Mark had him call me. I spoke to him, and he talked about, Anthony talks about everything. And I'm like, wow, this would be great. I mean, I got lucky with him. I said, okay, so you want to promote a natural show in Roanoke, and he puts on a health fair with all the different vendors there, and I'm like, that sounds good. I mean, I didn't know him, but Mark vouched for him, and I went down there last year. It was a smaller show, a little stage, kind of learned from everything, and then this year we had a bigger stage, we had a bigger turnout. There was some controversy over the over the final winner, you know, it's like, well, that's always going to happen when you, you know, when you have two different body types for, you got two different body types on stage, and of course, some people want big muscles, the other guy wants the lean muscles. But the great thing that happened about that is, I mean, I spoke to gentleman's trainer, I spoke to him after the show, and I basically told him what I thought he needed to do, and then there would be no question. He came up to my show in May, and he got his pro card. So he did listen. So what happened, you know, what happens is most of the time, it's not the person who lost, it's all that gets mad, it's all his friends, his family, and the people on the outside that don't really understand, they see it from a distance. They don't see it from the judge's table. And then when he came to my show in New Jersey, he looked unbelievable. His trainer called me and said, look, I took your advice. That he's like 6-7 pounds lighter. And it all works out because you got his pro card anyway. But he learned a valuable lesson. Don't show up, you know, you want to win, you want to be a pro, be the best you can be. Don't leave anything on the table. And that's really the sport of bodybuilding. You know, be better than the last time. You know, this is how you look today. And tomorrow you got to look better. And that's what drives people crazy about the sport. And that's why it's full of such driven people, because that's the goal. You're not competing against the guy next year. You're competing against what you looked like last time on stage. So just be better. And he did. He came. And the other thing, too, is the guy that took third place. He took third place. Am I allowed to mention people's names?
You can mention whoever you want. This is your show.
Zane Perkins. I think he took third in that show. And the same thing. I mean, I try to make a point of walking up to people after the show. I want to talk to them. I want to tell them what I thought. You know, because I'm not judging most of the shows. I'm sitting at the judges' table a lot of times, being the MC or on stage. But I feel that I have a right, because I'm old and I've been in a million shows, that I can go up to anybody I want to talk to them and give them advice. And I'll be honest. I mean, I want to go walk to some of them and tell them that they stink. I tell them the truth. I tell them what they need to do. And I said, look, because I can tell them people are mad, because I'm on stage and they walk off, and I can see the look in their eye. So I went up to Zane. I'm like, look, man, if you know how to pose, if you pose better, you'd be a pro, because you're lean. I said, you're shredded, and you have enough muscle size that you can beat a bigger guy. Well, he came down to North Carolina last week, and he got his pro card. So last weekend, and he posed perfect. Those are the stories that I like. I like when the guys come back. I like when they lose and they're disappointed and they wonder what happened. But yet they come back and then they succeed. And that, to me, is what bodybuilding is all about. I mean, it's like when I did my first show when I was 17, I was told I was all big and bad, because I was captain of my football team. I was most muscular in the yearbook, and I homecoming king, and I go to my first show, and I don't even know where I placed. I got my butt kicked. But then I went back the next year, and I won that show, because you learn.
Right.
I think the best thing to do is to get a whooping, and then when you get whooped, then you learn. You're like, man, I got to take this serious. I'm nothing compared to these guys. That's what you know, and Roanoke is a great place for it, because those people, the people come out, we had a nice crowd this year, and then next year he's already playing in a bigger crowd with a bigger stage, I mean, better lighting, and I fired Anthony from being the DJ, so, you know, you learn from each show. I got a whole notebook full of things, and Anthony, if you're going to be a promoter, this is what you have to do. And he wants to be successful, and he wants to have his health care be successful, and last year was bigger than the year before, and, you know, yeah, I'm happy as heck to have Anthony on our team, because no, he's got the same drive. He wants to have his show better than last year, which is the same mentality. That's what drives us all crazy.
That's awesome, yeah.
Almost psychotic, Walt, you know what I mean?
During that show, I was sitting behind one of the mothers of the young guys who was up there, the teen class. Her son was the taller one who wasn't smiling and didn't really have that even tan. And,
I know you're talking. He just did well recently in another show. He's a teenager, right?
That's, she was asking different questions to me. Well, why are they having him pose so much and this and that? And I said, he's got some great muscle on him, but right away he's not smiling and the tan is a little weak. So you got to get him to smile. Yeah. I mean, if there's one thing you got to do is you got to get him to smile when he's up there.
Yeah, you got to play the role. You got to smile.
Yeah, but it was great to see even those young guys get up there, and you know, they could be off playing Xbox or getting into trouble, but if they're building that kind of muscle, that takes dedication. That takes dedication.
Oh, yeah.
It takes time.
Yeah, at a young age like that, yeah, to fill that out. He was proud. His father was there. Yeah, he was all excited to be up on stage. He didn't care. He got second place. He was excited to be there.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That's what motivates them. You don't win. I mean, sometimes, like I said, it's the best thing that can happen. You can't win so easy. I mean, you got to put your time in, and you got to make your improvements. You got to feel defeat to know what it takes. to know what that feels like could never happen again. I mean, that's just, losing sucks. Nobody likes to lose. I mean, I've won a lot of shows, but I remember the losses more than I remember the wins, believe me.
And now you've just competed in some shows, haven't you?
I went back to the NPC. Everybody else, the people, all the natural community, I mean, a lot of people applaud it because they know that I've always done NPC shows, but a lot of people say, well, why would you support the NPC? I said, well, I'm not supporting it. I'm doing what I want to do. I said, I can't compete. Here, let me tell you what show I did. Uh-huh. I did the NPC Masters Nationals. I did the over 50 class. It's always been my dream, like many guys, be an IFBB pro. Now, I realized that it would be almost impossible to do it as an open competitor, as an over 40 competitor, which I actually took third overall when
nice.
I won my class there in 2009. So
nice.
I was close. So I decided this year, I was actually disqualified a few years ago because there was a lot of talk about me being a natural pro. And then once people start talking about it, then they have to act on it. I was okay for a while until I ended up winning all my classes at the NPC New Jersey Open. Then I go to the Gold's Classic and I win all my classes there. So people started saying, hey, he's a natural pro. He shouldn't be competing against us. Which, why would a guy that's on steroids be complaining about a guy that's not on steroids beating them, which is beyond me?
I think that's awesome.
Well,
that's the whole point, right? That's the whole point.
Well, I know, but why, you know, but so, you know, the guys that are spending all this money juicing, they don't like to be beaten by a natural guy. And, you know, so then they hide behind, well, he's a pro, so he shouldn't be allowed to compete with them. So I got disqualified. So my goal was to always be an IFBB pro. I turned 50 this year, so now I know. I said, I'm going to do what Dave Gooden did. He got his pro card in the over 50 class of the North American as a welterweight. So I said, well, why can't I? So I went out there, and to be honest, I love competing in the NPC. I love going up against those guys because that's what I grew up with. Those are the guys that I work out to beat.
Right.
Those guys, that to me, when I picked up my first issue of Muscle Builder and Power, the old Muscle and Fitness magazine, that's what I mean, Arnold and Franco, that to me, it's the ultimate. The guys that are in those magazines, nowadays it's a hell of a lot different. But back when I was 17 years old, there was no natural shows. I mean, I built myself to be an NPC competitor. Now, granted, I can only get so big, but I'm lucky. I have big arms, big legs, so I can stand up there next to those guys because I can be 150 pounds but still look like I'm 190 pounds. So I decided this year the timing was right because now being the president of the ANBF, I didn't feel right. Number one, I couldn't do my shows.
Right.
I didn't feel right. It wasn't fair to myself to go into other organizations' shows and compete with a clear mind, knowing that I'm going to be judged fairly.
Right.
I didn't feel it. There was a few shows I did last year, and I knew going in, I said, you know what? I mean, I show up in the best shape I've ever been, and I get second place. I get third place. I want to compete. Again, take care of the competitor. I want to compete and know that I'm going to be judged fairly, not because of who I am, but because what I bring to the stage. That's
right.
What I want to be judged on. So I went back to the NPC. I went through all the procedures. I emailed the promoter, Gary Uden, who I've done 6 or 7 of his shows. Puts on a great show. Now, he's a big-time 2,000 people in the audience, and they had 973 people in the show. He said, I'd love to have you back. I think you're fantastic. You got nothing bad, but you have to go through Jim Mannion. I'm like, Jim Mannion? He's like a legend to me. I mean, this guy's been around forever. So I emailed him and said, yeah, Ken, I don't really know what happened back then, but you are disqualified, but all you have to do is fill this form out and say you'll never do a natural pro show again and sign this, and if you ever do, you're suspended. I said, that's what I want to do. And I said, is it okay that I promote natural bodybuilding shows? No, you know, just as long as you don't compete as a natural pro, that's fine. So I went there, I won my class. I mean, in order to win the overall, you got to win your class. So my goal was to win my class, get in the overall. Now, realistically, I knew that even if I deserved to win the overall, I wasn't going to get it because my first time, you got to pay your dues kind of thing.
Huh.
But now I'm fired up to go back to the North Americans in Labor Day weekend. I know what I have to do. The guy that won the overall was a middleweight. So again, the bigger guy didn't win. There was only one class above. But he was, you know, he deserved it. He was good. So my goal is to go back in Labor Day weekend and on Friday of Labor Day weekend and do it all again. See where it's at. Now, I don't know where I'll go from there. I might try to do the Nationals just to say I'm more of a moral victory. Go against the all ages. I took 6th there in 2009 out of 36 guys. So I know I can be competitive, but if I can crack the top 10 and be 51 years old, I think that would be, I'll go for a moral victory this time. But I enjoy those shows. I like being in the spotlight. I like the atmosphere of the NPC shows because it's different than the natural shows. I mean, I know a lot of people. I'm friendly with a lot of people, but it's not always NPC shows, they're big money. The NPC is a money-making machine, and you have to know that when you go to a show, because that will put you in the right frame of mind. You're an entertainer with your dollar figure, and you have an entertainment value. You have to be aware of that, because that'll blow people away. Some people go do the first NPC show, and they hate it. They can't take it. They can't stand it, because they're different. It's a business. It's a totally different. It's a whole money-making thing, and you have to know your role in that show. But I love it, because it's spotlight. So that's, but I also love promoting natural bodybuilding shows. So I feel, I take myself out of the natural bodybuilding shows. I don't want to say, well, that person won because he's friends with Kent, did his show, and he won. I don't want to have any integrity issues about who wins my shows. And if I go do their show, I win their show. Well, he won his show, so that's why he won my show. So the timing's right for me not do the natural pro shows and then just concentrate on what I want to do. I still do what I want to do, and that's always the goal. And at the same time, I'm bringing tradition to natural body, because now I don't have to hide behind the fact that I'm a natural pro. I can let people know that I'm a natural athlete. And believe me, when I show up, people know because they know who I am, and then they say, yeah, there's that natural guy. And they see me put my dream tent on. They only one wearing a dream tent. They always say, dream tent sucks. Don't use dream tent. The judges don't like dream tent. But I keep wearing it, and I keep winning. It is funny. But I do enjoy it. It's almost like my alter ego when I go to the NPC shows. I just show up, and I know I'm a little guy, and I know. But I know I can bring it to the stage, and I know I can be the bigger guy. So that's the challenge that's eating at me right now. And then, well, I almost have two lives, I guess. I drive my wife crazy, Paul, I got to tell you.
Listen up, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. Stop working out with pain. Use my favorite pain reliever cream, Rubber Arm Muscle Rub. Save 10% when you order at www.myrubberarm.com and type in the coupon code MUSCLE1.
I think that's great. It shows that you have a fire for life. And I think that's something that can be hard to get nowadays with all that's going on in the world. That's what I think is so great about bodybuilding and so great about natural bodybuilding, is that it gives people an outlet to aspire to have something that they can chase after that's not a dollar amount, that doesn't depend on where they came from in life. It doesn't depend on, you know, what grades they might have gotten in school or how many degrees they have or what background their family came from. Once they get up on that stage, it's all about the muscle, and it's all about you having put in the time, effort, and due diligence to gain that muscle. That's what makes that whole online game, World of Warcraft, that's what makes that game so successful where others have failed, is because they took away the barriers to entry, and that anyone who just spent the time sitting in front of their computer, clicking a button, could compete with anybody else who was doing the same thing, sit in front of their computer clicking a button. As you can tell, I'm not the biggest person on those games, but you know, I'm not downplaying them. If you get enjoyment out of it, just make sure you don't sacrifice the rest of your life, people. You know, don't sacrifice your fitness for a video game, please. That I will take a stance on. And don't sacrifice your family for it.
When I tell people when they come to me and they want to do a show, or they ask me like, why do you do shows? I tell them, you know, I ask myself that a million times, but I know the answer every single time. It's the hardest thing you'll ever have to do. And they say, oh, no, it's impossible. I said, look, I'm telling you, it's the hardest thing you'll ever put yourself through. It's mentally, physically, socially, it's the hardest thing. And I said, and you have to do it right. You have to make it part of your life, not your whole life. And I said, when you do it right, you're up on stage, whether you win or you come in last, and you walk off stage, and I said, then I'll look you in the eye if I'm at your show. And if you have tears in your eyes, then I'm going to tell you you're a liar. I said, when you walk off stage, you look me in the eye, you tell me how great you feel by accomplishing everything, what you've done, the time, the sacrifice, the will to succeed, the will to change your body, knowing how to balance your life, whether you have children, whether you're in school, whether you have two full-time jobs. That you balanced everything and you still went on stage and you competed and you looked awesome. It's just, that's when you get hooked, and that's why people do it year after year after year after year. But then you get people that are fresh in the pan and they can't do it. They get on stage, they look okay, they're not happy, they say, this sucks, I'm never doing this again. And the next time you see them in the gym, they're 30 pounds heavier. So the will and the drive of competing on stage, it's really about balance. It's really about being able to organize everything. It makes you a better person because now you're organized. You know what you have to do. You have to have priorities listed on the table. Okay, this is what I have to do. This is what I'm doing today. This is what I'm doing tonight. I have to spend time with my children. I got to go to the mall. I got to take care of my wife. I got to go see my grandmother in the hospital. You got to balance everything. When you accomplish that, then I guarantee you're a successful person if you can manage all that stuff. And it's not a coincidence that many at the top, natural bodybuilders, many at the top, well, definitely a lot of the top pros, they're successful business people because they know how to do priorities. They know how to put bodybuilding in perspective, and they know what it's about. They're not just living out of the backseat of their car, spending all their money on McDonald's or whatever people do. And then they're usually good parents. I mean, yeah, it could be rough on relationships, but once you figure out the whole balance between relationships and competing, then you got it made, because then it all flows together. But it is tricky, and it comes a time where something will click and you'll figure it all out. That's what I tell people. It's the hardest thing you'll ever have to do, but it's the greatest feeling you'll ever have.
Yeah, I really like the balanced approach you're kind of promoting there. I think there is that possibility that they could just treat it as though it's the only thing in their life and be willing to sacrifice everything else for it. But I think you're right. They're not going to have the longevity in it, because you really need more out of life than just bodybuilding only.
Well, you'll burn yourself out.
Yeah.
For what? For a $20 trophy.
Right.
No friends, no relationship, but yeah, you got your $20 trophy. I mean, okay, have fun by yourself.
Yeah, and I think they probably come to that realization and then they drop out of it. And I think you're right. You know, there's a lot of things in life where the struggle has nothing to do with you. It doesn't come from you. The struggle comes from outside of you. So if you're stuck in, you know, the middle of nowhere and you've got to fight to survive, you know, that has very little to do with your choice. You know, the only choice is whether you want to live or not. But when it's your choice, you have the choice. You can give up at any moment. You don't have to do this whole bodybuilding thing. Nobody's going to be mad at you if you don't. You know, no one's going to look down on you if you don't do it. But it's all on you. It's all on whether you choose to do it and whether or not, you know, you have, the support of those around you. I'm betting that's a big part of it as well.
Oh, yeah. You have to have your friends that you work out with. Like, I have about 3 or 4 different people that I work out with. They have, you're doing a show, they're not. But, yeah, you have to work with them. You need them to get through the workout. So you can't be a jerk to them. You have to be great to them. I mean, your family, you still, like, every Friday night, me and my wife, we call it diner date night. We go out, we own a gym. So Friday night, we go out to the diner, and that's our time to talk about business for the week. You know, we used to go by ourselves, and then sometimes my son, you know, my kids will come. And then every Saturday night, I take my kids out to dinner with my wife. And I try as much as I can to do that, because you can't, I'm divorced. My kids are from a previous marriage, so I don't have a lot of time. Now that they're getting older, they like to come here. My kids work here now at the gym. So now I do have more regular time with them. But I still try to schedule those things as much as it might be a pain in the neck. Oh man, I gotta go. I want to just go home and go to bed, but you know, we gotta go to the diner because, you know, that's when we talk about it. We don't wanna, you know, we try to put a place, put things in perspective and spend the time with my children and save time for your friends. Yeah, you have to have that support group, because without that, really, what good is it? Again, you're sitting at home alone watching reruns of, Seinfeld with your $20 trophy in your lap. I mean, like, that's what it'll turn into.
Nothing wrong with Seinfeld. Yeah, I like it. I really like that balanced approach. Bodybuilding can be important if you choose to make it important, but it's not the be all and end all of life. I think it's a tool. It's a tool you can use to make your life more, to give yourself something more to shoot for in life that isn't dependent on other factors besides yourself. And I think even making sure you have that support group is part of that challenge, like you're saying. It's part of the bodybuilding challenge to maintain healthy relationships with family and friends along the way. That's part of the real challenge of living the bodybuilding lifestyle. And not everybody has to live the bodybuilding lifestyle, but with everything else that's going on in the world, I recommend it. I do recommend it. You know, you don't have to be the winner on the stage every time, but get up and compete. Get up and compete for something in life. And bodybuilding is just a great, easy thing. I think it's fairly easy to get into because there's very little barrier to entry. If you're born with a body, you can compete.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I
you know, you talked about, you know, the whole balance of stuff. So that's one of the reasons why we came up with the meet and greets with the AMVF, to kind of get to meet the people and have them see us, the people that are involved, you know, in a real setting, you know, like outside, like at a pizza joint or something, or at a gym, we're just hanging out. Or after the show, we invite them, you know, we pick a spot, we all go there, and, you know, and we'll sit at the same tables with them. You know, not like we're celebrities or anything, but yeah, we're the ones, you know, you're coming, you're spending money to come to our show, and we want you to meet us. We want you to see what we're like. And, you know, and our families are there, and, you know, a lot of times my kids will be there, but a lot of the judges will be there with their husbands. It's kind of like this whole, like, we went into this pizza place, and we kind of took over the whole place. It was all competitors. Judges and their wives, it was the competitors' kids. So we want people to see that, yeah, and this is what it's about. And so many people come up to us and say, you know, I've never done this before. I've never had pizza with the president of an organization or the promoter. I've never been like Mark Lobliner when he's there. He'll be there too. And it's like, you know, I've never done this before. You know, you guys are cool. Like, well, we're just people. You know, this is how you break the monotony of going through all this stuff. And then when we have, like, you know, when I have my show here in Brit, we have barbecue. I invite everybody the next day to my gym, and I'm cooking hamburgers and hot dogs all day long because I want them to see the other side. It's not just about the grind of dieting every day and then worrying about your macros and making sure you get all your cardio in. Yeah, you can relax. You can see us in a normal setting. You can see what it should be. It should be enjoyable. Now, I will say natural bodybuilding is great. It's good for everybody. But people say, well, is it healthy? I'm like, you know, it's healthy until the last 3 days before a show. It's not really very healthy. But it's healthy up until then. And you know what? The next day, you're back to normal. Yeah, you know, sometimes you do stupid stuff. You do drastic stuff to make weight or to drop your water, this and that. Or you're taking natural diuretics and you're taking laxatives and all this other stuff just to get your stomach smaller. So it's great living. Except 3 days, I tell everybody. I said, if you can survive those 3 days, then you're okay.
Right. Yeah.
But it makes you persevere, that's for sure. I mean, it does make you a stronger person. And yeah, you don't have to compete with your bodybuilder. But, you know, a lot of people want to try it once. And, you know, it's their decision to make if they want to continue to do it or not. And as long as, you know, it makes you healthy. I mean, you want to be, people want to be healthy. I had a friend of mine, and I don't know if you've seen it on Facebook, Sean Madden, 45 years old, married, 2 kids. A heart attack last week. I mean,
I'm sorry.
Heart attack, and he died. I went to his wake the other day. I just couldn't believe it. His wife looked at me. I'm like, what the hell? And he, you know, it's just that community. And so many, I mean, the guy was, you would think he was healthy as hell, but you just never know. So, I mean, the alternative is not good. So you gotta do something to keep yourself healthy. But yeah, it's sad.
You say he was or he wasn't? He was or he wasn't into bodybuilding?
No, he was into bodybuilding. Yeah, he was in good shape, and, you know, when you sit there and they have pictures playing at the place and you're looking at him, you're like, man, how could a guy that just have a heart attack and die? But I guess you don't know what the predetermined the dispositions are and all that stuff. You know, it's just, but yeah, there's so much at stake. I mean, why not make yourself healthy? Why not be active in the bodybuilding community? I mean, it's just going to make you healthier. And he was healthy, and that it still happened. Yeah, it's sad. You hear stuff like that. The whole bodybuilding community gets together. I mean, because he was a well-known guy and well-liked guy. He was an MC for a lot of shows. He actually MC'd my show a couple times up here, and he was going to promote for us next year. So, yeah, it's just stuff like that hits home. It makes you appreciate it. Puts it in perspective. Yeah, spend time with your kids. Don't just be in the gym every day. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. When Mark was there, I didn't really recognize him. I was like, that guy looks familiar. You know, I couldn't really place where I knew him from, so I just treated him like he was any other person I'd meet. Wasn't in shell shock or anything, and I was just like, oh, okay, okay, you know. Maybe I recognize him from someplace, but who knows, you know. So I just treated him like a regular guy.
That's really how he is, and it's funny how me and him met, because I knew who Mark Lobliner was from the Cybation days, and then I needed supplements for one of my shows, because my one vendor that I used to have, he wasn't living around here anymore. So somebody gave me this name, called this guy Mark at Tiger Fitness. I had no idea who the guy was. So I call him. He doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know. I said, look, I know you're helping out a friend of mine, Doug Ryan, a DFAC promoter in New Jersey. We do a lot of cross promotions here. And I said, you know, he said, if you call, you can help me out with some samples. He's like, how many do you need? He said, you know what? I'll tell you what. You need a judge? I'll come out and judge. Yeah, you know what? I'll even guest pose. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? I don't know who this guy is. So I finally bottom of his email, and it's Mark Wilbur. I'm like, what the heck? I didn't even know, because I had talked to him 5-6 years ago, and he was at Salvation about sponsorship and stuff. And he was helpful to me back then. But then, actually, it was probably like 10 years ago. But then, yeah, he came out. We became, I mean, like, instant friends. He's just a normal guy. I mean, but usually you watch his videos and stuff, right. You're like, this guy's crazy. But when you see him, he has his role, and it works for him. And
right.
But he's just a normal guy, and he wants nothing more than to help people with anything to do with bodybuilding, with nutrition, any advice you give to someone, he'll give it to you. He's a great guy, and but he's just a normal guy. You wouldn't know. He doesn't walk around and say, hey, I'm Mark Lobliner. He's kind of, after a while, you can't miss him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's got his personality, and you don't miss that, but it.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize him until I got back home, and I said, wait a minute. Now I know where that guy was from.
So. He's low key. I mean, he can be a little over the top when he's doing videos here in my gym, and it's like, man, I just have so much energy to be that way. But yet, those times, we'll sit down, and I hop and just have a regular, friendly conversation, and don't even talk about bodybuilding. Just talk about, my kids, his kids, his wife, my wife, what's going on. How's my gym doing? How's the business? What's your demographic? He's a businessman.
Right.
Very smart guy.
So what's the future of the AMBF?
Well, the future is, obviously, we're trying to build shows and then have consistent numbers. We're still in a growing stage. And we're in a position, because we are new, that we can do different things. That's why we did the straight through format. In fact, it's been very popular. We've changed some of the posing rules with some of the classes. We're more liberal with our crossover rules because we want people to be comfortable. We don't want them, because they may be judged differently in our organization than others. Our emphasis might be different. So we're liberal with that. But what we want to do, we have 16 shows this year. Last year we had 9. I'd like to expand into, next year alone, we're going to have 3 shows in Texas. I'd like to get up to 20 shows next year. After that, kind of see where we're at. I know we can't keep new shows when you have 10 people, 15 people, that's expected. But when you go back a second time and you have that number, you have to start generating more local interest. Like, for example, with our show in Morehead City, we had a nice first time show, but then this year the turnout was less. I mean, it's July, so we need to be smarter with.
Right.
With the timing and stuff. Last year was our first show, and so July was okay, but then we went back in November and we had 40-something people. So we're like, wow, so I was expecting this July to have 30, 40 people again, but didn't happen. But the area is a resort area, so the local people are out hanging out, working, and going to the beach. It's like, when you live in a beach area, the local people are busy.
Right.
So we look at it, what can we do? I talked to people that were in the area, what can we do? I'm thinking about not having 2 shows here next year, or maybe have one earlier. Now I know we could do it in July. We need to have more. We need to get the local community more involved. One of the issues down there is Gold's Gym basically is all over North Carolina, and it's owned by the MPC chairman, which obviously they're not going to help us promote our show. So the big Gold's Gym in town can't really help us because they're they're playing with the MPC, and they don't want to get in trouble. And the MPC chairman, obviously they have the rules. They have, the MPC is very strict with how they help other organizations, which there is no rule. They just can't do it. So there's a lot of other smaller gyms in the area that really have no representation, but they're all over the place. So I have about 4 or 5 people that I spoke to when I was down there last week, and they're willing to go out and hit the pavement and get the flyers out and go to the Marines, go to Camp Lejeune, go to Havelock, Cherry Point, and Goldsboro, where they have an Air Force base. Really hit the military installations down there and try to recruit them. I already know November shows, so I'm going to have 35, 40 people already. I already know that by all the emails and stuff I get. So we just need to be smarter where we put shows. Texas is a huge market. We had our one show down there, and we didn't have a lot of people in the show, but we've created so many contacts. So we're going to actually have 3 shows down there next year. And Texas is so big, we could probably have 10 shows down there. We have a show in California, which is run by Sean Trabatti. He owns Max Muscles out there, and he has his own supplement line. We're just trying to put the shows at the right time. We don't want to grow too fast, because the way the situation is that when we go to shows, we have a lot of travel expense. We got to fly, we got to fly people there. We got to put up hotels. We're still generating local interest. Everywhere we go, we have test judges, so they're in that vicinity, so we don't have to fly people in and stuff. But we're looking at 20 shows. We're just trying to be smarter with where we put them. We don't need to expand, even if it's only 16 shows, but when you add in two new Texas shows, that puts us at 18. So we're just trying to expand. We're trying to build our brand. We're trying to build our own pros. We give out most of our shows. We give out pro cards in the top two in the class. Because we want to, you know, we want to build loyalty. When we give out pro cards, if you're the only person that shows up in your open class, well, you shouldn't be punished. You should get a pro card. But yeah, it's up to you to decide if you're really ready for the pro stage. I mean, that's not
right.
That's anybody's decision. You know, anybody. I mean, if I get ready for a pro show, then, I mean, I can show up and get my butt whipped. It doesn't mean I deserve to be on a pro stage because I'm a pro. So you people they're accountable for their own,
right?
You know, for their own decisions, but. We're trying to build up the pros. We try to make our shows fun. I mean, I guest posted a lot of them, and I wear all crazy, stupid costumes and stuff, so that's fun. Because I think it's such a good example that, I am you. I am the same as you. I do compete. I still live the lifestyle. I'm still competitive. Yeah, it can be done. And I'm 15. Oh, by the way, I'm 51 years old. So I think people like that. I mean, I give the competitors a chance, and I don't always announce it when I'm guest posing, so I said, look, make sure you see the guest posers. So they all come out, all the competitors come out, and they watch. And I think that's fun. We try to make it family-oriented. When I see kids out in the audience, I love to go out there and give them medals, and I just try to get the crowd involved. And I just think by building the brand loyalty, by having the shows in areas that people want to go to, like Myrtle Beach, Tampa, you know, places like that, I want to have a show. I really want to target the Midwest, but I have no connections in the Midwest. I'm talking to somebody about having a show in St. Louis, and then he said the school declined them, but then Danny promoted for another organization, so I guess he didn't want to tell me the truth of really what happened. I don't know. Chicago, Detroit, that area, I'd love to have a show out in the Midwest. And then California, we have one. We have somebody in Arizona that's interested. I'd love to have a show in Vegas. I mean, I can promote all these shows myself. But I think they would grow faster if we had a local contact, somebody that we could kind of like jump on, piggyback on them to create excitement. Like in Texas, I have this gentleman, he won his pro card at our physique show when we were in Waxahachie, Texas in May. And he does expos. So now he wants us to promote, because now he's excited to be an AMBF pro. He wants us to promote a show at his expo where last year he got 1,500 to 2,000 people through the door. Now he wants us to be part of that expo, which is great. I mean, expos are great venues for great avenues to create awareness, because you have 1,500 people there that are there already for the expo.
Right.
Now all of a sudden they're watching your show.
Right.
There's not 100 people in the audience. There's not 200 people. You have 1,500 people. Now if they want to watch, they can watch. They don't. But yet still they see it. Like, hey, what's this AMBF?
Right.
Hey, who's that guy up there with the werewolf mask? You know, they see it. So expos are a great venue. That's why Anthony's, there's a lot of people that watch Anthony Ferguson's show and normally wouldn't have, but they were there. So they watched. So that's how you, those are great, great combinations, great partnerships with expos. And that's what he does. So he's helping me out. We're going to have a show actually at right outside of Fort Hood in Killeen, Texas. We're going to do a big fundraiser for the, Wounded Warrior Project.
Nice.
We're gonna, I've been in contact with some people involved in that, and we're going to actually name it the Cavalry Classic, because that's what it is down there, the Cavalry and the big tank commanders. But that's a connection I made, because I trained a girl whose husband was a tank commander, so that's where he was stationed. So that's how I was able to get that. So a connection with that. But yeah, we're just trying. I mean, if 16 to 20 shows next year, we're just trying to get them in places where we can branch them. And I'm trying to get local promoters. I'm trying to pick up promoters now, because I'm kind of tapped out as far as how many shows that I can do myself.
Right.
It gets a little crazy. I'm booking hotel rooms for the wrong weekend. I booked a hotel room for one weekend. It should have been the following weekend. And I'm correcting because I don't even know where I am half the time. But you know what? The bottom line is, as much work as it is, it's fun to me, and I get a lot of self fulfillment out of doing it, because I know that people enjoy it, and that's really what makes it all worthwhile. I mean, like I told my wife, if it's not fun anymore, I don't do it anymore. So that's, this has kind of changed my perspective. I don't really need to compete anymore. I'll do my one or two NPC shows a year until I give that up, but now this has kind of taken its place. So I don't mind spending the time, because if I didn't spend the time promoting shows, I'd spend time preparing for shows. So really, what's the difference?
Now, this podcast is heard all over the world now. Are you interested in, if there's a promoter outside the U.S. who wants to promote a show or have a show outside the U.S., are you willing to work with them?
Well, yeah, I'd love to have it. Anywhere, if anybody's interested in being part of the ANBF, I'd be more than happy to have conversations. Because, yeah, I would love to be. I have a lot of friends up in Canada. I'd love to be up in. I did a show up there for Sean Campbell, and it shows him. He kind of is one of the guys I kind of follow with the organization of the ANBF. He promotes all the shows himself. That's what he does. He goes from, you know, site to site. He does it. Puts on great quality shows. I have some guys up there that approached me about promoting up in Toronto, and I'd love to have a show up there. I mean, yeah, I would. If they want to call me up to talk to you about it, I'd love to talk to you. Because, you know, it's all about expanding. I mean, I can't sit back and be comfortable. I don't want to keep growing every year. I mean, I want to be right up there with the OCB, and then be, you know, there's a lot of national organizations, and we passed a bunch of them already, I believe, and only one and a half years. Because I think we're doing it the right way. I think by creating fun atmospheres and enjoyable shows and the, all the little extras that we do, I think that people really take notice of that and they enjoy it.
How can other people help then? Say if they're not a promoter, they're just someone who's interested in seeing natural bodybuilding be promoted more and they want to do it with the AMBF. How can they help even if they're not a promoter?
Well, I've had people contact me and say, hey, I live in wherever. I said, you know, I think this area would be great for a show. And I would, you know, text or call them, whatever. I say, look, you know, do you have any connections to school? And then, like, sometimes the teachers, sometimes, say, oh, yeah, I know so-and-so in school. I'll look at the area, I'll see where it's at. And I said, would you be willing about being my, you know, my local contact? I said, I'd be willing to compensate you for the amount of time, any expenses you spend, like a copy slide, whatever, I'll pay you, I'll reimburse you. And that's kind of how, so they're kind of like a promoter's aid, kind of say. That's the way I'm doing it down in Tampa. I got two people down there that have been invaluable with me, helping me out in the Tampa show. They're making all the connections, and I basically seal the deal as far as, like, on venues and stuff. And, you know, that they handle everything, and then I take care of the money aspect. But yet they don't have any exposure as far as losing any money or anything. I mean, they just make the connection. I say, hey, do you have a training person? Well, let me see what I got. And they'll give me two or three training people that they know of. And then the one girl after the work, I believe, at a GNC, so she talks to people all the time. She's all about, they're all about promoting the show. So, yeah, people that are hungry are looking to be involved in it without the exposure of actually laying out the money and being a promoter. I mean, yeah, I have relationships like that with probably like five or six people around the country where they help me and then I reimburse them or I compensate them for, like, if they get sponsors or something, I compensate them for doing the work for me. Because it's hard, I can't be everywhere. I can't travel to all these different places because I have a real job that I
right.
have to do too.
Right.
But yeah, I have a lot of people like that. I had a guy that was actually at Michigan State last year. He wanted me to come out there. Wanted me to come there. He went to the spot, you know, and he finally got all the way talking to people to the venue. And for some reason, the Michigan State, they didn't want the show there.
Wow.
So I don't understand that, but they kiboshed it. So he was all disappointed. So he's a student there. He thought it would be the greatest thing in the world. But there's a lot of people like that. I do get a lot of emails from people and messages on Facebook. You know, what would I do? I think this area would be great for a show. And so I kind of hear their ideas, and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But, yeah, I mean, we could be anywhere. I mean, as long as people have the connection, they can get me the names of people to call. For like the venue, I mean, obviously the venue is the first thing. A lot, you know, sometimes dealing with schools on an outside level is not easy. So that's why having a local contact sometimes makes it a lot easier. When I call, you know, hey, this guy's looking to rent my auditorium, they give me a little squirrely look, you know.
What's the best way for people to get in contact with you then?
Well, my email address is krb46@comcast.net. I always check my messages on email, but also if I can be Facebook message.
Okay.
So they can find me on Facebook, and then, email's the best.
We'll put the information in the show notes for people. If they're not able to write it down, they can come check the show notes later. Kent, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on the podcast today. I hope that we can do good and help in the AMBF. I was very pleased with how you guys handled the competition that I was at and saw, and I think promoting natural bodybuilding is a very important thing in the industry because it gives everybody chance to lift strong and prosper.
Okay, all you beautiful fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes, don't forget to like us on Facebook, subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, sign up for free membership in the Union of Muscle, help our union-sponsored athletes by donating to their fund, and lift strong and prosper. Would you like to be a guest on our podcast? Go to theunionofmuscle.com and go to the Contact Us page. There you will find an application for guest speakers. You have been listening to The Union Podcast. All rights are reserved by the content's creators.